This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehiz Wuhib. Coming up on Africa News Tonight,
UN aid agencies are appealing to international donors to provide the money they need to increase life-saving operations in drought-stricken Ethiopia and Somalia, where millions of hungry people are at risk of death and illness.
That's Lisa Schlein reporting from Geneva. Details coming up.
Also, the president of South Sudan addresses the nation today about the famine reported in parts of Unity State. And Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe turns 93 today.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
Our top story, South Sudan President Salva Kiir addressed the nation today about the famine reported in two areas of Unity State. Speaking on state television, Kiir said his government would ensure unimpeded access for humanitarian organizations. The famine reported in two counties of Unity State is reportedly affecting about 100,000 people. However, aid agencies say many more people are at risk and that malnutrition problems exist in many parts of the country. The Associated Press reports that the European Commission has announced nearly $90 million in emergency aid for South Sudan. The head of the EU humanitarian aid agrees with others that the humanitarian crisis in South Sudan is entirely man-made. South Sudan fell into civil war in December 2013. Thousands have died and at least 1.5 million people have fled to neighboring countries. That, coupled with a poor economy, has led to the current humanitarian crisis.
UN aid agencies are appealing to international donors to provide the money they need to increase life-saving operations in drought-stricken Ethiopia and Somalia, where millions of hungry people are at risk of death and illness. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
5 years after the devastating 2011 famine killed nearly 260,000 people in Somalia, famine once again is stalking that country. The worst affected areas are in northern Puntland and Somaliland, where dozens of drought-related deaths and many illnesses already are being reported. UN Refugee Agency spokesman Leo Dobbs says thousands of people are on the move. He says they are leaving their homes because of the drought, rising food prices, and dry weather forecasts exacerbated by conflict. He says they are heading for urban areas, including the capital, Mogadishu.
The government is encouraging people to stay in their districts and to wait for assistance to come to them, rather than making the long journey by foot in search of shelter and help, as happened in 2011.
Dobbs says the UNHCR has started helping displaced people in the worst affected areas. He says swift and substantial action and adequate funding are needed to avoid famine. Dobbs adds his agency urgently needs $825 million to carry out operations until June. On a related issue, the United Nations has released $18.5 million from its Global Emergency Fund in response to a new catastrophic drought in Ethiopia. Jens Lajerke, the spokesman for the Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, says the money will provide aid to more than 785,000 people suffering from hunger, malnutrition, and severe water shortages in Ethiopia's worst-hit Somali region.
The people who are going to be helped are mainly pastoralist communities in, as I mentioned, the Somali region. Many of them, thousands of them, in fact, have been forced to move with their livestock in search of water and pasture.
The United Nations estimates more than 5.6 million people in Ethiopia are affected by one of the worst droughts to hit the Horn of Africa in decades. Lajerke says the UN will need $948 million for humanitarian operations in Ethiopia this year. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Thank you, Lisa. UNICEF says nearly 1.5 million children are at imminent risk of death due to the threat of famine in parts of South Sudan, Nigeria, Somalia, and Yemen. Executive Director Anthony Lake says the problem is largely man-made due to conflict and violence. He's calling on the international community to move faster to prevent a tragedy like the 2011 famine in the Horn of Africa. Meanwhile, two other UN agencies warn of critical shortages in food aid for about 2 million refugees across Africa. The World Food Program and the UNHCR say the number of refugees on the continent nearly doubled to about 5 million last year. They say while donor funding did increase, it could not keep pace with the growing number of refugees. 10 refugee operations in Africa have seen a reduction in the amount and quality of food assistance for 2 million people. Some have had their food rations cut by 50%, including those in Cameroon, Chad, Kenya, Mauritania, South Sudan, and Uganda. At least 74 bodies presumed to be African migrants washed ashore on Libya's coast this morning. Libya's Red Crescent spokesperson says the circumstances of the drownings are not known at this time. In addition, European Parliament President Antonio Tajani today called for large-scale investments in Africa to stop migrant flows at the source. He says millions of asylum seekers could arrive otherwise. Reporter Josephine McKenna is in Rome covering the latest migrant developments. She first spoke with me about the latest migrant drownings.
The information coming from Libya's Red Crescent organization is that at least 74 bodies were found on the beach near the western city of Zoe on the Mediterranean coast of Libya. They are saying that there may even be more bodies, but it's unclear at the moment. There's no sign of a wreck, boat or dinghy in which the migrants may have been travelling, but the agency has been tweeting photographs showing dozens of bodies in body bags lined up on the beach there. A terrible tragedy, and no one really knows what's happened.
And I guess there were no survivors?
It doesn't appear to be that there are any survivors. It's still very unclear exactly what happened and how many people were affected in total.
Also this morning, the European Parliament president has called for large-scale investments in Africa to try to stop this large flow of migrants. So what did he say about this?
President Antonio Tajani, he is an Italian who's just been elected recently as president of the European Parliament. He's saying billions need to be invested in Africa to really support countries at the source, to give local people an economic future and stop the migrant flows, stop people from seeking work and fleeing poverty. He says if the problem is not tackled in Africa, facing drought, malnutrition, conflict, he says that Europe will see millions more Africans seeking to make their way to Europe, and there'll be no way of actually stopping them.
Also, I understand that 6 people have been arrested in Sicily that are presumably smugglers.
6 presumed people smugglers of various nationalities have been stopped by Italian police in Ragusa in Sicily. They are believed to be responsible for smuggling around 460 migrants that have travelled on dinghies and boats just in the last day or so from the coast of Libya. They travelled on Saturday and disembarked on Sunday in Pozzallo in southern Italy. They've stopped 3 Senegalese, 2 Gambians and Bengali man, and the migrants all came from Central Africa and have been transferred to centres in Italy. But these smugglers are alleged to have been working with people smugglers in Libya due to agreements that they have in place, and they have been taken away to prison and are now facing legal procedures here in Italy.
On another migrant note, Pope Francis is calling for people to fight the inclination to reject migrants. What more is he saying about the migrant crisis?
Well, Pope Francis gave a very powerful address today to a migrant summit that has been organized by the Vatican. He says political leaders, civil leaders, and the Catholic Church have a moral imperative to protect protect the millions of migrants seeking refuge around the world. And he said that those who are fleeing conflict and persecution are often trapped, as we know, in the grip of criminal organisations who have no scruples. And he said that they deserve a responsible and dignified welcome with decent and appropriate shelter. He said these are essential for migrants. He said there needs to be a shared response to welcome, protect and integrate migrants. Perhaps it's not something new from the Pope, but a very strong message and something that we're seeing again and again from this Pope.
That's reporter Josephine McKenna. She spoke with me from Rome. You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehiz Wuhib, 15 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. The president of South Sudan addressed the nation today about the famine reported in Unity State, affecting about 100,000 people. And UN aid agencies are appealing for the increase of life-saving operations in drought-stricken Ethiopia and Somalia. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe turned 93 today, but lavish celebrations for the world's oldest head of state won't be held until Saturday. AP reports Mugabe did use the occasion to talk about U.S. President Donald Trump. He said he agrees with Trump talking about American nationalism, America for Americans. He added that Zimbabwe is for Zimbabweans. Mugabe has defended Trump's positions in the past, even saying he did not want Hillary Clinton to win the election. He does question building a huge wall along the Mexican border, saying it appears quite nasty. He added that the U.S. leader might come up with better policies. Mugabe also repeated his pledge to run for president again in 2018.
Burundian refugees in Uganda have resisted calls from their government to return home, saying they would only return on the condition that President Pierre Nkurunziza relinquish power. Burundi government officials recently met with refugees at Nakavel refugee camp in western Uganda. Catherine Anambi visited the camp and has the story.
It was an almost chaotic scene as a delegation of Burundi government officials visited Nakavel camp in western Uganda, where most of the Burundian refugees are sheltered. The officials, led by Pascal Barandagiye, the Burundi Minister for Interior and Patriotic Education, are in Uganda to persuade the Burundi refugees to return home, claiming peace has returned.
So, donc aujourd'hui, le bon moment pour appeler.
Now it is a good time, it is a good period to call upon our Burundi refugees to come back home, because now Burundi is peaceful. And we invite them to come back and contribute to economic development of the country. We request the government of Uganda to continue their support to help us to bring back Burundi refugees.
However, not even claims of peace in Burundi could persuade the refugees, who said they can only return to their country after President Pierre Nkurunziza leaves power. Dusmas Barije and Patrice Lumumbaki are both refugees in Nakavel refugee camp.
We can't understand why they are here. There's no message they are coming to give us. We know this man who is coming here. We know his past. He's a killer one. He killed the people from Burundi. He killed the Burundi children. But now he's saying that the peace is there. Many soldiers, they are dying now. They're cutting their necks. They are just torturing them. They are just killing. How to trust that there is some peace when we see the death on just international media?
I can't, because the situation that I left there is still the same. Nothing has changed. They are still killing people. I've lost my brothers. I've lost my wife. Okay? I've lost my mother.
Media reports indicate that at least 500 people have been killed and 300,000 have fled Burundi since the unrest began. The latest high-profile assassination is that of Emmanuel Niyonkuru, Burundi's Environment and Planning Minister, who was shot at the beginning of this year. Uganda is home to 45,000 Burundian refugees, part of those who escaped to neighboring countries, fleeing the April 2015 tension that followed President Nkurunziza's decision to stand for a third term as president in violation of the country's constitution and the 2000 Arusha Agreement that ended a decade-long civil war in the country. Asimwe Douglas, the refugee protection officer in Uganda's office of the prime minister, says they have embarked on a campaign to sensitize the Burundian refugees on why they need to return home, although he maintains the return should be voluntary. Uganda's Minister for Relief and Disaster Preparedness, Hilary Onek, says that Uganda government is ready to facilitate the return of the refugees to Burundi, but noted that those who will stay will cease being refugees and will be subjected to Uganda's immigration laws.
If refugee situation is not warranted now from Burundi, if Burundi is peaceful as we know it, and they have finished the agreement there in Arusha, whatnot, then those who want to continue here as refugees, we shall turn them over to immigration. They become now immigration matter now. You are given visa to stay here for 3 months, and if your visa is expired, we shall not do it like Trump, but we shall advise you quietly to go back. Or if you want to work here, you get a work permit. But for refugees, we allow them freedom to work and to stay here, because we know their country is not peaceful. But now Burundi is becoming peaceful.
With uncertainty still looming over the security situation in Burundi and President Nkurunziza still in power, it still remains unclear whether the Burundian refugees will voluntarily return home. For VOA, this is Catherine Nambi reporting from Nachivale refugee camp in Western Uganda.
Xenophobic violence is again on the rise in South Africa. Recent attacks on businesses owned primarily by Nigerian, Ethiopian, Somali, and Pakistani immigrants have provoked alarm from human rights groups. But there has been little outrage from the government. VOA's Anita Powell met with activists and immigrant community members in the capital, Pretoria.
Tensions are high in South Africa's capital amid a wave of attacks against businesses owned by immigrants, who some residents accuse of spreading crime. Several low-income Pretoria neighborhoods have recently seen violence similar to a wave of xenophobia that hit Johannesburg and Durban in 2015. Police report at least 20 shops and homes were looted and burned, and foreign residents were attacked late Monday. No arrests have been made, police say, as no one has stepped forward to press charges. Congolese immigrant community representative Prince Binda says many local Congolese residents are losing hope in the Rainbow Nation.
I have a friend, for instance, in Pretoria West, who phoned and said, look, man, today I have nothing in this country because the car they were driving, they were thrown out and they burned the car, and people came into the flat and they took everything. So really, to be punished or to be beaten up for what you didn't do makes you regret why you first came in this country.
President Jacob Zuma's office told VOA he has not made any public pronouncements on the attacks and has yet to issue a statement. Many activists say politicians have a big role to play in these events, citing comments made by Johannesburg's mayor, Herman Mashaba, in December, in which he said that immigrants are holding our country to ransom and equated them to criminals. Those comments earned him sharp rebukes from other politicians. South Africa has long been a magnet for migrants because of its progressive laws, its porous borders, its advanced economy, and a migration policy that does not require asylum seekers to live in refugee camps. The last census counted 2.2 million immigrants in South Africa, but other estimates are as high as 5 million. The nation is also beset by racial inequality and high unemployment, which has led to frustration. In 2015, xenophobic violence in Durban and Johannesburg left at least 7 people dead and prompted thousands to flee. Another outbreak of violence in 2008 left at least 67 people dead. Ethiopian community member Alamayu Sumbeta, a carpenter, disputes the notion immigrants take jobs away from South Africans and hurt the economy.
As you know, most of our people are in locations, rural areas, they go wherever, even risky places where people cannot go. Even some of the places, citizens are very scared to go to that place, but our people go there and create a business for themselves. But we are not actually taking a job from the South Africans.
University of Cape Town research supports him. A 2015 study found immigrant business owners contribute to the economy in numerous ways, among them by paying rent to South Africans and by hiring South Africans. Activist Mamet Foisebe of Lawyers for Human Rights, who is South African, says the government needs to address the situation before any more immigrants pay the price. Anita Powell, VOA News, Pretoria, South Africa.
The World Health Organization is spearheading a nationwide polio vaccination drive in conflict-ridden Yemen to immunize more than 5 million children under age 5. Lisa Schlein reports from WHO headquarters in Geneva.
Yemen has been polio-free since 2006. Efforts are underway to try to make sure children in this war-torn country remain free of this potentially deadly, crippling disease. But it will not be easy. World Health Organization spokeswoman Fadela Shaib says thousands of local volunteers are putting their lives on the line as they go door to door to reach and immunize more than 5 million young children against polio. She tells VOA there are no so-called days of tranquility. She says the guns will not fall silent during this nationwide vaccination campaign.
What they do is they will look at the geography of the country and try to target places where it is possible to go with a maximum of security. And what we usually do with our partners is to talk to the local authorities, religious ones, or people in the parties in conflict, to try to secure a maximum of security for our staffs and volunteers.
Shaib agrees the challenges ahead are daunting, but says they can be overcome. She notes two polio vaccination campaigns took place last year, and the expectation is that this one also will be successful. She says it is critical for Yemeni children to be vaccinated, as many are weakened by malnutrition and lack safe water and sanitation. She adds such children are particularly susceptible to becoming paralyzed by polio. It will be 2 years at the end of March since the Saudi Arabian coalition began its devastating airstrikes in support of the Yemeni government against the Houthi rebels. The United Nations says children are among the main victims of this crisis. It reports more than 2 million children are acutely malnourished, a condition that can lead to death or to stunting, which impairs physical and mental development. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehiyis Wuhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC.
For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of African News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, John Dryden, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, U.S. President Donald Trump has made his first phone calls to African heads of state, speaking with Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari and South African President Jacob Zuma. an in-depth discussion on the expectations of the president's engagement with Africa. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
VOAAfrica.com.
On VOAAfrica.com, the news updates never stop. Our primary goal is to keep you informed.
VOAAfrica.com, your trusted source for news and information.